Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you today that if you're going to make it in these last hours, I'm not talking about endure hardship. Everyone endures hardship. I mean, you're tired of enduring hardship, being a good soldier, getting beat up all the time. If you're going to make it and you want to move from glory to glory, you will have to be with him. You're going to have to learn to move out of this jurisdiction. You have to. Your freedom is with him. There's such freedom with him. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to pile on, compound, and multiply against you. As soon as you come into where he is, all that breaks right off of you. Because he has no jurisdiction where you have jurisdiction. He can't go there. And if you get high enough on a consistent basis, you'll understand that. And you'll learn to walk in the high places of God. The Bible says, oh, Jah that rides upon the heavens. Amen. The Bible says, all our pastures are in high places. Got to learn to live and dwell. I was talking with my new friend over here. He's a pilot. He's been a pilot for 40 years, and he flies the Gulf Streams. You got to have thrust, too. I just saw that when we were worshiping the day. I think how they thrust. I mean, he could tell you all the dynamics because he teaches about the Gulf Stream. They thrust up into the heavens. See, they lift off with power and thrust. And it gets them and it breaks that gravity. See, it breaks them up in there. You got to have that thrust behind you. Everyone say thrust. Hallelujah. You cannot allow your spirit to become weak in this hour. You'll have no thrust. If you have no thrust, the enemy will captivate you here in this jurisdiction. You have to have thrust to get out. Say, come up. When the Lord calls you up, he calls you with thrust. But you got to give yourself to him. Amen. Your faith, you'll find thrust. I feel it in the spirit. There's a new operation of thrust. You can enter in. Did you know you can enter into resurrection? Resurrection wasn't a one-time thing. Resurrection's always going on. It's like a stream of resurrection. It's constantly, and you got to just enter into that. Use your faith to thrust into what's already operating. Did you hear what I just said? Resurrection's already operating. Use your faith to thrust into his resurrection. And his resurrection will catapult you in. It'll thrust you up. Amen. On the wings of a great eagle. You keep hearing me talk about an eagle. God's given something. I won't talk a lot about it right now. But it's a brand new operation that just plows through barriers. That's all I can tell you. Just plows right through them. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to get higher than we've ever been. Your freedom, your victory, your inheritance, your breakthrough, and your blessing is higher. Say higher. It's going a little further. Not in yourself, but in God. It's all up there. It's all there. Say it's all there. Everything I need's in him. The Bible says you're complete. Chuck touched on this. You're complete. You're complete in good. You're complete in him. Say, you're complete. Fullness. It's glorious. Learn to turn your trials into God. Learn to take off the old man. Cast your care. Learn to take off burdens. That's your first step. You got to learn to remove burdens before you get into a true exchange. The next level is exchange of nature. We exchange who we are for who he is. You know, that is a grace. Glory to God forever. Let's give God glory. You got to live for him. Now, I want to jump into something today. I want to really, really get into this today because in speaking to several people, I realized that sometime when we teach this, you might not fully understand. And I'm going to try to really, really, really lay this out for you. And I want you to listen clearly, especially when I get into John 17 today. I want you to take what you believe about oneness and stick it on a shelf. Because I realize I'm preaching against a preconceived mindset of what you think oneness is. And talking to people, sometimes I have to talk to people. I understand, oh, they're not hearing that, which means I'm not saying it right, which means I'm coming back at it. Amen. Because you get the explosiveness of what he's speaking about, of what he's actually given us, what's going to radically change your life. It's going to fill you with his power and his glory. You got to understand it. Amen. It's the pinnacle of our Christianity. Glory to God. And you got to understand what it means. Amen. Now, Genesis 1 says, let us make man, what? In our image. Man in our image. It's very hard to understand what that image is because we weren't born in the image of God. We were born again. Our spirit was born again in the image of God, but we're still wearing a body that's not in the image of God. We'll be, but not yet. We still have this untransformed part of our soul, mind, will, emotional, intellect, faculties that are not born in the image of God. And it's how that is made into the image of God, how we achieve that image, is everything. What we normally try to do is produce that image here. We see a God that's good. We see a God that's awesome. We see a God that's glorious, and we're trying to be like him. Say trying. We can't try to be like God. We have to enter in to what he's already done. Now, we know the Lord, just for sake of time, I'm going to fast forward Hebrews chapter 1. We know the Lord restored our image. He didn't come here just to save you. The cross was the greatest display of love ever in the history of the world, but God didn't come here to leave you on that cross. And he didn't leave his son on that cross. The cross was the doorway to the Father. The ultimate goal of God was to get us to the Father, to restore us to the Father, to be loved. But even the ultimate goal beyond that is to be restored into our image, into what is his image, which is now our image. Amen? We know there's an image to be attained. We know Christ is our image. Listen to what he says here in Hebrews. He said, who being, Hebrews 1 and 3, who being what? In the brightness, say brightness, of his glory. And the express image of his person. Christ in his ascension to the right hand of the Father received the glory. And when he did, he became the express image of the Father. Say the express image of the Father. The express image. Everything Christ is, the Father was and still is. The Father gave him all that in his ascension. Think about this. Christ went to hell, went to the cross, then went to hell in our place. Think about the awesome restoration from where he was to where he is. I mean, he was wearing the sin of the world, every stronghold that you and I struggle with for 40, 50 years. Everything was laid upon him on the cross. He died. He was buried under the weight of it. Suffered for 3 days, and the Father's resurrection power fully restored him. In his ascension, that kind of power is available to us. You think Christ's up there trying to work on a stronghold of his? Yet he bore every stronghold you'll ever deal with in this life. He wore it. It was laid upon him. The sin of the world was laid upon him. The Roman centurion that looked upon him, when he saw him, said, this must be the Son of God, because in his description in Isaiah said, he said his visage was marred more than any man, in his form the sons of men. When the law of sin and death, so powerful, that corrupted the entire human race, that corrupted the entire world, was laid upon him, it contorted him. So you couldn't even tell it was a man standing, hanging there. Sin. That's what he became, an offering. And yet when the Father raised him up with resurrection power, he became the express image. The Father clothed him. Say, clothed him. Clothed him in glory. Clothed him in power. Clothed him as our heir, as our completion, as our image. He is our image. Now, how we go about appropriating what he is into us makes every difference in the world. Everyone's trying to be like God. Got to work on this, got to work on that. How far has that gotten any of us? There's another way. Look at your neighbor and say, there's another way. It's another place. You think you're going to change in the image of God working on stuff here? Where do you see the image of God in this jurisdiction? It's not here. So why are you going to try to find something here to perfect so you can be better so God will accept you? You're not going to obtain the image like that. You can only obtain it in faith. Say faith. You're going to have to, the greatest faith in the world is to get past yourself. Did you hear that? The greatest faith ever is to get past your own stuff, because you got to bring you to God. He requires you come to him. Just like the cross, you came to him. And you were born again. Now he said, now bring all the rest to me. That's a lot. Bring it to me. The hard part is bringing all that into God, because you're feeling the weight of all your stuff. You feel the insecurities, the shortcomings, the failures. Go on and on and on. The weightiness and trying to get through an invisible barrier to a God that's perfect. And the original lie that if you would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you would be perfect. But you find you're not perfect. Now I'm very imperfect and I've got to come into perfection. That takes faith. Instead, we don't go into perfection. We try to fix it here. Because you feel the imperfection. That's part of the fall. You feel imperfect. The world makes billions and billions and billions, trillions of dollars on imperfect people. Creating an image of perfection. They know how to capitalize on the imperfection of man. Because man ultimately feels imperfect outside of God. But the original lie, if you would eat, you would be perfect. So they know inside they gotta, there's something in every single person that desires perfection. It's not wrong to desire perfection, it's how you go about it. You try to perfect yourself here, you're gonna end up empty. There's not enough perfection. But something inside, say something inside. There's something that can perfect me. God set that inside you. Put it in the wrong place, you'll end up empty. Put it in the right place, you'll be full. It's his perfection we want to attain. How do you obtain it? You got to be with him. Amen. Go to John 14. He begins John 14, as you know. My Father's house, there's many dwelling places. He's got that right. Your faith can explore into God. There's glory to glory up there. It's amazing. There's a whole new room opening. That's why I'm so excited. You seen me this excited? It's because the ceiling's breaking right now in the spirit. It's breaking open up in there and it's glorious. You get glimpses into something and go, wow. You get caught up into something like, what is this? Where has this been? It's new. There's many dwelling places. And he begins to say in verse 10, believest thou not? He begins to introduce oneness. Say oneness. It's necessary. Listen, this is very, very important. You understand what he's talking about with oneness. It's really something the Holy Ghost has to teach you. I'm going to tell you something. You need to understand what I'm about to say to you very clearly. In John 14, 15, 16, and 17, anytime he deals with oneness and union, he is not talking about oneness with you and I here. He's not talking about union with you and I, oneness with you and I. He does, the unity of the brethren is a huge thing with God, but that is not the text. It is not the subject matter of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's necessary you understand that any time he's referencing union and oneness, dwelling in him, You're going to see that he is not referencing unity of the brethren. You have to know that. He starts in John 14. He says, do you not believe that I am in my Father and my Father is in me? Do you not believe that I dwell in him and he dwells in me? He's introducing an operation that he has with the Father that not even the angels have. He's telling them the secret of who he was. I came out of the Father. I'm returning to Father. Can you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? He's speaking to you. He does the works. Everything that I'm doing, it's the oneness that I have with my Father. It's my Father doing these things. I and myself cannot. He begins to introduce that oneness. And then he begins to introduce your role, the ultimate plan of God. To give you something that only he and his Father and the Holy Spirit shared. Not even the angels. No created thing was ever given this estate. No angel, not Michael the archangel, was given this kind of position that God was going to give in the restoration of mankind. Does God love us or what? Now, he wasn't speaking of oneness with his deity. But he was speaking of oneness and authority, oneness in love, oneness in peace, oneness in power, oneness in glory, oneness in wisdom. Say oneness. John 14, verse 13. I love this verse. Yet a little while, John 14, verse 19. The world seeth me no more. But, look at this, you see me. That word see is behold. It's same word used in the Lord's final prayer. Say, Father, I will they be with me where I am that they may behold my glory. Because the world's not going to see me, but you will. Say, you will. You will behold me in an invisible state. But you're going to see me more clearly than you see me now. You know why? They weren't one with him. As his disciples, he goes, you're going to become one with me. You're going to get to enter into my glory. You're going to dwell in me. And I'm going to dwell in you. They didn't want him to leave. He goes, you don't understand. If I leave, I'm going to the Father. And I'm going to give you what I have with the Father. You get to dwell inside all this stuff you're looking at. And all this stuff you're looking at gets to dwell inside of you. I imagine their minds now, we've heard this for a while, but their heads swiveled. Did he just say that? Of course, they were accustomed to him blowing their noggins off every once in a while. Upper room, psst, interpretation, please. Didn't quite understand that one. He said at that day, say at that day, verse 20. I say that now, Father, I'm in that day. I'm in that hour. I'm in that place. Say, in that day, in that hour, you shall know. Gnosko, intimately know. You're going to know. He introduces this phenomenal concept that I am in my Father. And you are in me. And I'm in you. Who ever thought of something like that? Except God. Now go to 17. John 17. And he culminates this thing of oneness. I'm going to tell you something. The things that we don't fully understand is where all the glory is. The things that we don't fully comprehend is where all the power is. That's why he said, you're going to know it. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you how to come to where I am. And then when you get to where I am, I'm going to show you the Father. That was chapter 16. Now he comes back into oneness. Now it's right at this point right now that I need you to stick your definition of this on the shelf. Okay? I don't want to preach to your preconceived definition. Does that help? I want you to just listen to these words and understand the subject matter of what he's saying. And not one point in John 17 is he speaking of unity of the brethren. But he mentions one being one six times in a small group of passages He mentions oneness or being one six times. Not one time is that referring to unity of the brethren. It's all referring to your position in Christ and in the Father. This chapter culminates everything in God. It is the end run culmination of salvation, reconciliation, restoration, and the Father's plan to restore you to your image, which is Christ. Amen. The first thing he says, this is a very powerful verse, John 17, verse 5. It says, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self." Say, with thine own self. "With the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Now, what is the glory? The glory is a lot of things. Well, it's a cloud that moves in. That's a manifestation of the glory. What is the glory? The easiest way I can, or the simplest way, or the most advanced way, I can explain what the glory is everything the Father is was clothed in Christ. He's telling, Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross. He's not even talking about the cross right now. He's thinking post-cross right now. "Father, glorify me with thine own self." Say, with thine own self. Wrap me back up in you, Father. Wrap me back up. Bring me back into that oneness you and I have had since the world has begun. Restore me, Father. You don't think he was longing to get back to his Father? You ought to do a word search on "I go" in the book of John. How many times he says, "I go, I go, I go. I'm out of here. I've done the will of God. I go. I come, Father, reconcile." But he himself wanted to get back into the presence of his Father. He told his disciples, "My Father's greater than I am. You think it's something being with me? Wait till I introduce you to him. Glorify me with thine own self." Here's your prayer. "Father, glorify me with Christ." Or you can say it like this. "Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the fullness of the glory you have given Christ, my image." Or you can say it like this. "Father, glorify me with the image of Christ. Glorify my spirit. Glorify my mind. Glorify me with the image," say image, "of Christ, which is grace, life, light, love, peace, joy, wisdom, power, righteousness, humility, gentleness." Glorify man. It's a clothing. It's a covering. Inside and out. Now look at verse 11. He says, "And now I am no more in the world." Now he's already speaking like it's already happened. That's because he could move into that dimension. Do you understand that he's in the upper room and then he's not in the upper room? But he's in the upper room, but not in the upper room. He's in the Father now. "Now, Father, I'm no longer in the world." Do you understand what he just did? He ascended into his Father. Now he's going to speak to these disciples out of an ascended place. Because he knew how to ascend. He told Nicodemus, "What if the Son of Man ascended up where he was before?" He knew how to go in and out of the Father. So he says, "Now I'm no more in the world." But these disciples, they're in the world. You know what? By the end of this, he's got them where he's at. He goes on to say, "You're not of the world anymore, but I send you the world." Right now he's telling them they're in the world. By the time he's done, he's got them where he is. And he's commissioning and sending them from that position. You see how he operate, where he operated from? See, that is a necessity that we have to learn. Amen? So, "But these are in the world, but I come to you, Father." See how I go to you. "Keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me." This is the first mention of oneness in John 17. "That they may be one." Say, "They may be one as we are." Say, "as we are." He wasn't saying, now keep them, Father, in unity down in the earth so they can be in oneness the same way we're in one. That's not what he's saying. Now he goes on. This is the laws of meditation. You cannot take a scripture and build an image around it. You need the whole image. The image begins in John 14. It ends in John 17. All of that is one image. If you want to know that image, read it 100 times through. Don't go trying to do word studies on it. Just read it through and let the Holy Spirit begin to build. I was taught how to meditate. I don't have to do that anymore because as that revelation advances, he can just, he can just paint it for you. But in the early days, I just read it. Read it. I was taught to do that. Building the image, building the image, building the image. See, the Holy Spirit would build that image, build it, build it, build it, and then he would blow up on it. I remember the day when I was building the image of Romans. That is a difficult book. I locked myself away, and I read that book through 100-something times. And I remember it went, poof. He exploded the whole book. Because the image was there, the Holy Spirit could just paint that thing right up through my spirit, all the way through. I'm like, but it's the same way you build the image. Amen? As you build that image, the Holy Ghost is going to bring light. Now listen, people need to understand that it's not just faith that's going to get you into these places. It's revelation. Look at your neighbor and say, revelation. The eyes of your understanding must be open to an invisible realm that's made visible by the Word of God and accessible by faith. Ooh, that was good. The eyes of your understanding are open so the invisible is made visible and then it's accessible by faith. So you need revelation and faith. That's why he said, if you'll keep these words of mine, you'll move into something that's invisible. It's not visible to your senses, but it gets visible to your spiritual senses because the word makes it alive. Then you move into these rooms. Here's what happens when you don't have revelation by the word and you start moving those dimensions. You start counterfeiting things. If you don't have enough truth in you, as the word opens the arena by revelation, how do I get this to happen? You read it through and you meditate it and you sit up and you listen to these teachings until the light comes on. I said this before, I'm going to say this again. I used to listen to my spiritual father's teaching 6-7 times, sometimes 8, but it was generally the 6th or 7th time through, bam, it would hit me. It would hit me to such a degree it would go off inside me and I could say it just like him. In the early days of ministry, I preached just like him. Word for word, same mannerisms, everything. I could preach his sermons just like him. Sometimes I still do. That's what happens. You emulate that. But I could get it the way he got it. I could see it the way he saw it. And I could preach it the way he preached it. That's what needs to happen. When that light comes, I'm telling you this for a reason. When the light comes on, then you add your faith to that light. Then you take faith. And then what will happen is that image, that light, that revelation and faith will cause you to, it'll thrust you into that place. Does that make sense? A lot of times you're trying to enter into something, but you have no grid. Your faith's trying to move into something, but nothing's happened because you don't have enough light. You don't have enough revelation. The word's the lamp to your feet in the spirit. I like to imagine. So when you get the revelation and when you get faith, you had faith in the revelation, then it moves you. You see that? So some of you, in these areas, you're getting knocked out, blocked out. Sometimes it's not about your faith. It's you don't have enough revelation. You don't have enough. The light has not come on yet. It's not knowledge. It's revelation. It's got to become rhema. You're going to have to stay in it till the light comes on inside. When that light comes on, it becomes the lamp. You add your faith to it, then you move. That'll break your ceiling out. Amen. Right now is a ceiling presently breaking off of these verses right here. And we've been in them forever, but they are now. And that's what I want to talk to you for the rest of this service is these last 6 verses. Verse 20, right here, from 20 to 23 or 25, these verses right here, says, neither pray for I these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Say, that's you. That's me. Now listen, you really, really, really want to listen to me. I'm going to give you something, what I consider presently the pinnacle of our Christianity. It's hidden in these six verses. Now, five times he's going to mention oneness. Watch what he says here. Verse 21, that they all may be one. Say, all may be one. How many in the past have ever read that is unity of the brethren? It's okay if you've had, lift your hands because I did. That they all may be one. Let's all be one. And then what happens? We come out. We all need to get unified. We all need to come together in unity. When we come together, his glory is going to show up. Because it said right there, we all come together, his glory is going to show up. And so we do our unification thing. You can't stick a bunch of flesh together without God in the middle of it and think he's just going, his glory's going to show up because flesh got together and they all had a good day in the flesh. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was forgiving one. Now, I believe in unity of the brethren, but that's not what is going to release this. Amen? Let's all get together as one, then his glory will show up. We all do this. Every time you hear, revival's going to come when the church becomes one. The church is going to be impossible to come one without first coming into his glory. You got to get his glory first before unity of the brethren. Flesh is not going to produce glory just because you stick it together. It's still going to be flesh. Just hang out long enough. So he explains what he's talking about in that verse. They all may be one. Now, here's what he's saying. This is what he meant by that statement. He's praying to his Father. He says his final prayers. He says, as thou, Father, and here's what I'm talking about when I say one. He explains his prayer to the Father. He didn't really have to do that. But since he's teaching his disciples and they're listening to him and they're going to, and John's recording it, he explains what he's talking about. So you don't mess it up. But we still mess it up. That they all may be one. And here's what I mean by that. As thou, Father, art in me, and I'm in thee. Now that's the glory that he had with his Father. Oneness. No angel ever created got to enter into that. That was not their position. No created thing was ever given that oneness. Now he's saying, his Father, I am in thee. I am in you, you're in me. Now they also may be what? One in us. Now that is a ascended position right there. That means you're coming up into a oneness that God has given to you. Say given. That cannot be earned. You're never going to be deserving of it. It's been freely given to you. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You're never going to be good at what? Are you going to suddenly ascend in the earth to some position that's God says, oh, acceptable, come up now. When is that ever going to be? You have to understand this is a grace of all graces. Okay? But there's something's going to happen there. He goes on. And the glory, say the glory, you gave us me, I've given them. That they may be one, even as we're one. What is the glory? Father, as you have clothed me in all of your fullness, I'm giving them all of that. All of the glory you've given me, all of the power, all of the love, all of the life, all the light, all of the joy, all of the wisdom, all of the peace, everything that I've been given in this oneness, I give to them. See, I give it. I give it. It is a gift. It is an inheritance. It is free. And you cannot earn it. You cannot achieve a state of perfection that's going to allow you to come into that. You're going to have to go in there by faith and by revelation. You're going to have to believe that. What he requires is not how perfect you are. He requires, do you believe this? Do you believe that I have given you this oneness? My glory I give. Because if you don't believe it, you can't have it. If you don't see it, you can't have it. Can you see it? How do I know where that's at? It's with him where he is. How do I know where that's at? You're not going to find it with these eyes. You're not going to find it with his head. You're not going to find it with any of your senses, but you can develop spiritual senses that are inspired by the living word of God. When rhema revelation shoots off in you and your eyes, your understanding are open, and the word becomes a lamp to a hidden place and the spirit realm opens. You then begin to see something with spiritual sight that you didn't see before, and then your faith begins to approach that room. At no point did God ever ask you to be perfect. Because if you want to know the truth, he already perfected you. Hebrews chapter 10 said you are forever perfected because you don't come up into the Father in you. You're not coming up in you. You're coming. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're going to come up in through your mediator. You're going to come in through your high priest. You're coming up in through the intercessor of heaven. You're coming up covered in him. When the Father sees you, you're veiled in Christ. So all your imperfections you think God will not accept, he doesn't even see. The only problem is you see them, he doesn't, but you do. And the enemy wants to make sure you see them. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God doesn't see the perfection. You see them, but the enemy wants you to see your imperfection because that's his original lie. You feel imperfect. And what's going to cause you to overcome? You have to take the feelings of imperfection and you got to bring them to God. How do I do that? I've got a revelation that I'm loved. I got a revelation that I've been given oneness. I've been given a place in the Father. I've been given a dwelling room in the Father. I got a revelation. You fight through your own stuff. Your biggest battle is you. And God requires you to overcome to come and sup with him. He requires you to overcome. You got to fight your feelings. You got to get past the flesh. You got to get in there. You got to go through the door. But it's all for those. When you get to heaven and said, oh, I could have done this, could have done that. And Jesus just showed you who you were. This is who I wanted you to be. That's what you became. Only the Lord can wipe away those tears. But ain't nobody in this church going to be crying like that. How do you think he's coming back with a church without spot and wrinkle? Well, we're going to get together. We're going to fix ourselves here. That used to plague me. I'm like, Lord, it takes you 30 years to get me to where I'm at, and I've not gone anywhere. I said, the rate we're going, I need Adam's length of timeline, 930 years at least I can. He goes, that's because you're doing it from the wrong place. But it's your faith I need, and it's revelation you need. And I want to add faith, I want to add revelation, and I want to bring you to where I am. I want to bring you into the Father, and I'm going to glorify you in the Father. I'm going to glorify your spirit and your soul. I'm going to restore the image of who you are. I have your image and you're joint heir with me. You're joint heir in the image. I freely give this to you. God's not lying. It's the devil. When you feel all that stuff and you can't figure out why you can't get through and all that, you say, where are you, God? That is your battle. That is the limitations of flesh put upon man in this earthly jurisdiction. Your faith has to ascend past that. Get on the wings of an eagle. Rise! Thrust out! Thrust out! Thrust! 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 Oh! Thrust! 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 Woo! Woo! Thrust! Can you believe? Can you fight life through? Can you pass the barriers? Can you be a son and daughter of God? My prayer now is coming through, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory Christ has inherited from me. Glorify me with love. That's what glorify means. Glorify is the same thing as transform or transfigure. He's taking himself. There's a place where you get buried in baptism with a circumcision not made with hands. God will circumcise your flesh for you. In that realm, he'll take your flesh and he'll cut it right away. As soon as you get with him, he goes, bury that, raise that up, raise that, bury that, bury that for sure, raise it up. You come out feeling like, whoa. You got Christ in you. The hope of glory's in you. He buried something. He raised something. I give this to you freely. It's a grace. Say, it's a grace. It's a grace. It's a grace. And then he culminates it. I love it. Verse 23, I in them. Now he's talking about here. First he said, this is what's going to happen with us, Father. We're going to bring them up. And then when they dwell with us, after we're done, then it's going to be I in them, Father, and thou in me in the earth. That's when he said, my Father will love you. And we, my Father and I, will come and dwell with you in the earth. That's when the manifest glory of God, you're carrying his image. You have the manifest glory of God on you. And it's the Father doing the works through Christ, and you've taken a back seat. Now Christ is in the ascendancy, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, now you live, yet not you. Christ is living in you. That can only happen by exchange. That can only happen there. That's how God's going to get the job done in the last days. Look at this, that they, what? May be made perfect in oneness. Say perfect. We're going to perfect the oneness. That's transformation. That's what I would call glorification. That's exchange. Father, I will they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you've given me. I want them to have it. And then 2 Corinthians 3, we'll finish this. 3:18, but we all with open face, say open face, no veils. See, he's going to remove your veils for you. He's going to remove all the things that restrict. Beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we're changed. Say changed. That's metamorphosis. Transform, transfigured. Transform, transfigure, or glorified. He takes an area that's not of his image and he glorifies it into his image. He takes you that's not in his image and he glorifies you. He transforms you. He transfigures you in that power, in that light, in that love, in that glory. He transfigures you into his image. It's by his power this works. And then you come back clothed in the image of God. The stuff you've been dealing with just knocks. It falls off to the ground. Now power is showing up with you. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. Mark my words, for those of you that plan to stick around, there will be creative miracles flowing through this house. The manifested glory will come through this house. Power, glory, the eyes of the blind will see. The ears of the deaf will hear. Paraplegics, and everybody is going to look on that and say, we can teach you how to walk in that same thing. It's one thing to have a mantle. It's another thing to duplicate it. This house will walk in it corporately. This is how the job's going to get done. And it's how he's going to perfect you. He told the church of Philadelphia, you had little strength, but you used what strength you had to keep my words. Use what you have. Use the strength, the focus, and the faith you have and point it in the right direction. Do not use what God's given you, large or small, to beat the air with. You'll end up empty. You're running a race, and there's a huge prize. Big, big prize for those that cross the finish line of transformation. Transfiguration. The huge prize. Don't use what God's given you to beat the air. And do not lay your sword down. Do not back up. And don't listen to people who do not know what they're talking about. They will ruin your compass. They might have bright personalities, but they can destroy your compass. Find somebody that can hone your compass in, where you can use what God's given you to excel into the height of God in all of the inheritance. When he comes back wearing him, you wearing him, you clothing him, that inheritance will freely release. You don't have to do anything. It'll just start releasing. It'll be the most effortless thing you've ever done. You'll walk and things just start happening everywhere. Because it's not you. It's Christ in you. And you're wearing a manifested inheritance that you got in the throne room of God. Glory.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.